understand there's a bone marrow drive that's on today from 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock, so we encourage everyone to try to save some lives. They say it will only take 5 minutes of your time for the initial testing today, and then later on, you may have to be tested for it. The Medrash has an interesting interpretation on the opening pasuk in Vayeshe. Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, Be'eretz Kenuan, the simple translation of Megurei means lagur, to dwell, to live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash understands that the Lashon Megurei comes from the Lashon Gerus, that Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were all actively involved in proselytizing the Nochrim in Eretz Yisrael. The Meshech Chochma points out that there was a point in Yaakov's life where he discontinued this. After all, the children were born already, and it was Mitoso Shleima, Avraham Avinu had children who Yitzchak was Jewish, the other children were not Jewish. And Yitzchak had two twin children, Yaakov and Esav, one was Jewish, one was not Jewish. And Yaakov was what we call Mitoso Shleima, all of his children were Jewish. So from that time on, he stopped proselytizing by the Goyim, and he just worked on his own family. And Hashpah, that the Bnei Yisrael are supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim, that's the expression that appears in Sefer Yeshaya, the Or LaGoyim will be in an indirect fashion. We'll lead our lives, we'll mind our own business, we'll lead our lives, we'll raise our children, raise our families, and indirectly we will function as an Or LaGoyim. So the Meshech Chochma interprets the Pasuk, Vayichan as Pnei Ho'ir, and last week's Sedra, that when Yaakov was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he stopped by Shechem, by Yichan as Pnei Ho'ir. So the Medrash has a comment. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos and Dabar Madlikin that the Gemara understands by Yichan, he gave chen to the city. How did he give chen to the city? He instituted a coin system that until the days of Yaakov Avinu, they just had the barter system. Everybody had to schlep sacks of potatoes in order to buy a donkey. Everybody had to schlep heavy stuff in order to schlep heavy other heavy stuff back home. And Yaakov Avinu introduced them to the concept of a monetary system. That's one interpretation the Gemara has. There are some who claim, some economists or some philosophers who claim that money is an evil of modern society, that the world would be a better place to live in if there weren't such an institution as money. But apparently the Gemara thinks not so. The Gemara considers this wonderful act that Yaakov Avinu did, that he introduced the monetary system. The Chazon Ish writes in one place in the Chelek Yerideya that there are three halachas where the din is that Shavu Kesed is not Kekesed. When you get married, you can Mekadosh an Isha with a ring that Shavu Kesed be the Kekesed. Or when you do Pidyon HaBen, so you don't have to necessarily give Kesed. Gemara says you can give a Sugu, you can give a Behema, Egon Zel Pinyimni, Talon Zel Pinyimni, you can give Shavu Kesed also Lachatchila. There isn't even a Hina Lachatchila to give Davke Kesed. The Gemara says there are only three cases where Shavu Kesed is not acceptable. One is Pidyon Ma'asusheni, that it says V'tzarta Kesed Biyadecha. We're up to that Gemara. We're just about to learn that Gemara in Brachas. That you need Davke Kesed Sheish Ol of Tzura. And then that's a real din deraisa. And then the second din is Machtas HaShekel. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas that he wrote a chibur on the Talmud Yerushalmi, which he had to leave behind when he ran away from the communists. So he bemoaned the fact that he felt that was his major life's work, his chibur on the Yerushalmi. So he writes in his chibur on the Yerushalmi, he explained that he thinks that that's a din derais, that you have to do Machtas HaShekel has to be given dafke with kesed, not shavu kesed, but that's a din derais. Then the third din is clearly only a din derabbanan. Rashi quotes in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the three dinim are in Bechoras Daf Nun Aleph. It's one brayse that lists off the three dinim. So the third din, Rashi there on Bechoras writes that the Yerushalmi says that it's only a din derabbanan. When you come to Yerushalayim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and you want to buy an oilas riyo, so you should pay dafke with cash as opposed to shavu kesed. It's on the level of the rice, it doesn't make a difference whatsoever whether you pay with cash or shavu kesed. That's a din of the Rabbanan. Rashi gives all reason for the Talmud Yerushalmi why. So the Chazon Ish writes in one place, when the fact that the Torah has an abstract halacha that you can only fulfill a mitzvah machtas shekel with cash and not shavu kesed, or from the fact that pinyan ma'asusheni can only be done with kesed, not shavu kesed, So you see that that's the ideal world that one should be living in, a world that should have money. It doesn't mean that you should be running after money all the time. Money often is an evil of society. But a perfect world is a world that does have money in it. So the Chazal comment on the pasuk "Yichan es pnei huir," that he gave chayin to the city. One opinion in the Gemara, holds Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, three different suggestions. So one of the Amoraim says that he introduced matbea tikalam. One says that he introduced botei merchatz soitz, that he introduced the hygienic practices that they didn't have until his time. And the third one suggests that he must have introduced shopping malls. That until the days of Yanko Avino, you wanted to buy potatoes, you had to go to this farm. You wanted to buy carrots, you had to go to that farm. And he had one big shopping mall where they had the clothing and the furniture and the food and the jewelry, everything all in the same place. So that's how the Gemara interprets by Yichan Aspenehir Meloshin Chayim, that he added Chayim to the city. That the Jewish people are not only supposed to be interested in furthering the Jewish causes, they're supposed to be interested in furthering all humanitarian causes as well. You don't have to give that much money to all the other humanitarian causes where non-Jews are participating as well. The Jews are less than 1% of the world population, so let the non-Jews give the 99% to cancer research and everything else, and we'll give our less than 1%. There are Jewish causes, but the non-Jews are not helping us out. So we have to give more money to those causes that are not being funded by others. So in addition to that interpretation, the post of Yichan as Pnei Hu'ir, the Meshech Chachma quotes a Medrash that says, Vayichan Loshen Chanoya, that he was Koveya Tchum Shabbos. So the Meshech Chachma suggests that maybe it's not necessarily to be taken literally that Yaakov Avinu, that's what it means, it was Koveya Tchum Shabbos. Maybe what it means is the idea of Tchum Shabbos, Al Yetzi Ish Ben Koma, Vayom HaShvi, you mind your own business, you don't go floating around the world, you don't go on a hike on Shabbos. So Yaakov Avinu, from that time on, after he saw that he had all the 12 children who were all Mitos HaShleima, they were all Jewish and they were all observant. So from that time on, he stopped the proselytizing. It's interesting, though, that the Medrash has the comment on this pasuk, Be'eretz Meguri Yovid, Be'eretz Kanan. You get the impression the Medrash is saying that Avram and Yitzchak and Yankiv, they spent time in Chutz La'aretz. They weren't interested in proselytizing in Chutz La'aretz. Only in Eretz Yisrael. It's like we were talking yesterday about the Kusim. The Kusim were the group who were moved from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And then they were being attacked by the lions, and then they converted to Judaism without any Kabbalahs on mitzvahs, so the Geirus was meaningless, but the lions were satisfied. So why did they convert to Judaism? Because they understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish God, is Elokei Haaretz, and Eretz Yisrael, you have to be Jewish. As if their misconception was, their perception was, that the Jewish God is the God over Eretz Yisrael, not the God over the rest of the world. So we don't believe that. We believe that a bracha has to have Shem Malchus, and Tosfos says you have to say Melech Olam. God is the king over the whole universe, not just over Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban, HaChumash, does point out that the Ikam Bokam of Shemiras HaMitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in a certain sense Elokei Haaretz. The Melech HaMashiach is going to be the representative of Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, describing Shlomo HaMelech, Vayeshev Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem, means that the descendants from the Malchus Beis David, Malchus Beis David is supposed to be the Malchus Hanav Teres, that the special chosen Malchus, so the Malchus Hanav Teres is supposed to be representative of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they're not going to be, there were Malachim from the Malchus Beis David who were Rishoyim, so he doesn't represent the Ribbono Shlom, but if you have a Melech who's supposed to, a Melech who's a Tzaddik, is considered as Vayeshev Al Kisei Hashem, is considered as if he represents the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ikam Mokam of the Malchus is in Eretz Yisrael. And in addition to Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam is also the Melech Al Kol HaOlam Kuloi. Melech HaMashiach will be also Moshlo Miyam Ad Yam. He'll rule over the whole world. But the Ikam Mokam is Eretz Yisrael. So that's apparently why the Medrash is interpreting this pasuk, that they were only actively involved in proselytizing. Avraham Avinu was going around preaching monotheism, and Yitzchak and Yaakov also preaching monotheism in Eretz Yisrael. In the Chutz La'aretz, they didn't feel it as their responsibility. Sounds like in Eretz Kenan, it's Eretz Beguri Yavid, the Eretz where they were involved in Geirus. Chumash often describes the Tanakh often describes people sinning And the Talmud says that it's not to be taken literally. That just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik and tzadikav kechuta saira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives more hashgacha protis on those who are closer to him than those who are further away from him. So this is both l'toiva and l'ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ragli chasid of Yishma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a hatzolah, sometimes in an unusual fashion, to an unusual tzaddik. If he would have just been a Beinoni, he wouldn't have deserved to stand out so much. He wouldn't have deserved such an unusual hatzolah. But the person is a tzaddik, so sometimes he will be nitzol in a very unusual fashion. And l'ra also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im tzaddik of kuchut asar. Sometimes a tzaddik does a slight avera, and the Rabbi Shalom will punish him as if he did a major aver, because on his madrega, that's considered a major aver. That's how the pasuk says, "V'lo zachar sarah mashkim es Yosef v'yishkacheu." The concluding pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. So the Beis Halevi points out, "Ashvei hagever asher som Hashem iftach v'lofon al brahovim misate chazov." So the Medrash comes, "Ashvei ha'odom, ashvei hagever." The closing Rashi quotes the pasuk from Tilam. Ashrei HaGevet, the praises of a man, that's Yosef, Asher Sam Hashem Iftachoy, that he has such a high level of bitochen, v'lofone el rehovim v'lsate chazov, and he doesn't rely on other human beings. So on the level of Yosef HaTzadik, it was considered an avera that he asked the Saramashkim, Kim Zachartani El Paro, when you get your job back, try to remember me to the king and get me out of the prison. If it would have been me or you, a normal person, you're mechuyif to do a hishtadlus. You're mechuyif to ask someone, help me get out of this prison. You have to try to do whatever you can. But for Yosef, on the madrega of Yosef, that was considered an avera for which he was punished. They had to sit in prison another 2 years. So here also the pasuk speaks about Vayavi Yosef is the bosom royal avia. The pasuk sounds like Yosef was a tattletale. He was telling his father all the avlas that his brothers were doing. Then it says the brothers hated him, the brothers wanted to kill him, and the brothers went and they sold him. So according to many Mefarshim, the brothers didn't sell him. The brothers, the Malbim has a whole Arichas on this, it quotes from the Rishonim, that the Pasuk says, the Medonim Machros ala Yishmaelim. The Mai said the brothers didn't sell him. The brothers felt, let's throw him into the boar, and the Yishmaelim will pass by, and they'll see this man is probably Muchtav Lamisa. Why then did they throw him in a boar? So Mestamba, they'll take him, and they'll sell him as a slave. And then it turned out that they didn't even take him as a slave. The Medonim came, and they sold him to the Yishmaelim. The brothers thought the Yishmaelim would take him as a slave. So what does the pasuk describe? Mechiras Yosef is Atem Echarta Mosi Heino, that the brothers sold him. So the pasuk very often exaggerates. So it says, Vayelach Ruv Mayishkev is Bilo, Eish Esovi. So the Medrash says he didn't do that. So many psukim in Tanakh like that. The pasuk describes one of the biblical figures is doing such an avla, and the Gemara says that it's a tremendous exaggeration. That's not at all what the person did. It's a b'chin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im tzadik of kechut asayra, that went down in history as if they did such a terrible avla, but it's really an exaggeration. So what's with the Lashon Hara story? So some of the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara says in Perek Arvit Psochim, that if you see a person doing something wrong, you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about the person, but it is recommended you should speak to the person's Rebbe if the Rebbe has a relationship with the Talmud, so maybe he'll be able to have hashpah on the Talmud. There was a time that they used to tell the Rebbes in Yeshiva which students in their class were not attending Shia. I guess now everybody attends Shia, so they haven't told me in a few years that the people are not there. Maybe there's so many minyanim, so they can't keep track who's not attending Shia. I don't know. And it helped. If the Rebbe has a relationship with the Talmud, and he hears the Talmud is not going to dominate, so he should speak to the Talmud. Why not? So the Mefarshim point out, Vayavi Yosef is dibosam ro el avihem, that he was telling the father the avlas that the brothers were doing in order that the father should give tochacha to the children. He wasn't exaggerating. The Chafetz Chaim writes all the klolim as far as this is concerned. You're not allowed to exaggerate, and you can only say to the extent that you think that the tochacha will help, and so on. So he meant L'Toiva. The Chumash describes it as if he did a violation of the Issa Lashon Hara. Maybe there was maybe part of his intention was Shaloi L'Shma. Maybe there was jealousy. There was clearly jealousy among the brothers because of the fact that Yosef was the favorite brother. But it was a little bit Shaloi L'Shma blended in. But basically what he did was Mutter, not for the fact that it was a little bit Shaloi L'Shma. The Gemara has a policy that in interpreting Psukim in Tanakh, that whenever something is not that clear, and all the truth of the matter is all the Psukim are unclear. Any story in Tanakh, you're missing more than 99% of the story, so you don't know what the gist of the story is. So whenever something is unclear, so either they had a tradition or they're trying to reconstruct what happened without a tradition, so they usually assume that whenever it's a tzaddik, so the pasuk is going to say over a tzidkus from the tzaddik. Whenever it's a rasha, so we assume that everything that he did was lera. Except over here, the Gemara says, the pasuk says that Yaakov treated Yosef as a favorite child, and this brought about the whole Mechiras Yosef, or the whole Golas Mitzrayim. So the Torah writes this to teach us that we should not. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do like Yaakov Avinu. Everything else that the Chumash describes about Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov is recorded in the Chumash to teach us that that's the way we should act. But here the Pasuk says that this activity, this attitude that Yaakov Avinu had, that he treated Yosef as the favorite son, this was wrong. And this was what brought about the whole kin and sin and the whole machlokes. This is recorded in the Chumash to teach us we should not act in this fashion. But the Gemara seems to assume that all other stories in Tanakh about tzaddikim are recorded to teach us the proper way to act. We should learn from the way the others act. This is the one exception to the rule. The Chumash records that this was improper on the part of Yaakov Avinu. There are different kinds of chaloimus. The Pasuk says in Bahalo Yischo, He didn't lose his consciousness. All the other Nevi'im would lose their consciousness and they would give a Nevu'ah, they would receive a Nevu'ah in the form of a Chaloim. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevu'ah is Pel Pel Dababo. He didn't have a Chaloim. So Yosef over here, that's how the Meforshim all assume, Yosef understood that his Chaloimus were Nevu'ahs. A nevuah seizes a person. The psukim in Yirmiyah say it's like a fire in my bones, keish ba'atzmoisai, and the navi feels compelled to deliver the nevuah. He can't hold it back. So Yosef realizes that the brothers are not going to be happy about what he has to say, but he felt compelled to say it. He felt this was the nevuah. They said ma'amim malumim, and he said about zvah shemaim, hashemesh vayarech mustachim li, and so on. These were nevuahs. So all of the nevuahs were mekuyim. Then you have later in the parasha, you have chalaimus. They weren't, it wasn't ke'esh batzmoisai. People dream all kinds of dreams. The Gemara has the last parak and brachas. Parak haray, the Gemara gives interpretations of dreams. These are not nevuahs. The Gemara says that a lot of times a chalaimus echad mishishin b'nevuah. What does it mean echad mishishin? So they usually say, if it would have been echad misamach aleph, then it would have been batel b'shishim. Because it's echad mishishim, so it's almost batel b'shishim. So it means that there's going to be a mashu. A mashu means that it's batel al pidin. Mashu means that it is batel. It means a little more than a mashu. There's going to be a mikta semis in a dream. Okay, so the Saramashkim and the Saroifim, they had dreams. And Yosef knew how to interpret that part of the dream that was relevant. And he said, he's going to get killed and he's going to be saved. He's going to get back his job. I think Gemara interprets different dreams in the last parak and brochas, but that's not the same as a nevuah b'chaloyim adababo. When a navi has a nevuah b'chaloyim, he realizes that he's seized with this fire in his bones. Eish batz moisai. So Yosef, a normal person, would never have told over such dreams to the brothers. What does he need trouble? He's in trouble alone from the fact that the father gave him a son as pasim. They're unhappy with him. So where's his chachma that he tells him? What is he so foolish? What does he tell him all the dreams? The answer is he was compelled to say the dreams. The Navi cannot withhold the Nevuah that he got. So he was seized by the dreams. That was outright Nevuah. And the other dreams were Echad Mishishim bin Nevuah. The Gemara discusses, if you have, the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, a discussion. Person has a dream that... If he'll walk in the park, he'll walk 10 steps forward and 10 steps to the right, and he digs over there 50 feet down below the ground, he'll find $1 million in cash. You should know that $1 million is Hegdish. a kesef ma'aser sheni. So he walks ten steps from the oak tree and 10 steps to the right. Lo and behold, he finds $1 million. So the din is, he's a lucky winner, he can keep the money. If not for the fact of the dream, he wouldn't have known that the money is there. So why doesn't he have to be concerned that it's maybe tagdish? It's a garnish. Means he's not seized with the nevuah either. The Navi can sense whether it's a nevuah or not. Well, let's say a person has a dream. His father died, and he finds $1 million in his father's drawer, and then he has a dream that the money belongs to Pliny. He's not mechuyev to give the money to Pliny. He can keep the money for himself. Or even if he didn't know where the money was, if not for the dream, and then he goes and he finds money in the dream, they told him your father hid the money and it belongs to so and so. He doesn't have to give it to the other guy. We say divrei chalom islam alam lam reading. But if the person is a navi, then the dream will seize him. So that's a different story. That's a nevuah. I have this story about Balabas was in the lumber business. He had forests and he used to chop down trees and he used to float the trees down the river and then he used to sell them in a different location. So he had a recurring dream a few times in a row that he shouldn't go next time when they float the logs down the river because he's going to fall into the water and his skull is going to get cracked open by one of the logs and he's going to get killed. So he went to ask Rab Chaim Volozhin what he should do. So Rab Chaim Volozhin told him, ignore the dream, divrei chalom islam alam lam reading. So he ignored the dream, he went, and that's exactly what happened. He got killed, he fell into the water, and the log cracked his skull open. So he died. So the children sat shiva, and after they sat shiva, they went to complain to Rab Chaim Volozhin, you killed our father. So he said to them with a straight face, if someone else would come with the same dream, I tell him the same answer. You have a right to ignore all the dreams. The halacha says you can ignore. It's not the kind of a dream like over here, like Yosef HaTzadik had a dream. He felt this was a nevuah. He knew that it was a nevuah. It was a dream. There are dinim about if you have a chalom ra, so maybe it's echa mishishim a nevuah. So there's a din if you're really concerned about the chalom. So yeah, you're mechuyif to fast tainus chalom. Tainus chalom is a chiyuv. If a person fasts and he wasn't mechuyif to fast, so he doesn't have a kiyum atonis. On Yom Kippur, you mechuyif to fast min haTorah. On Tisha B'Av, you mechuyif to fast min derabbanan. On the Shivas HaBetamiz and Asarah B'Tavis, and some Gedalia, the Gemara says it's Rotz Misanim, Rotz Ein Misanim, it's optional. And the Rishonim say, Kvar She'aviyu Alayu Chayva. So that's a question, how do you understand that? What does it mean, Kvar She'aviyu Alayu Chayva? Klal Yisrael. This is quotes from the Halachas Gedolos. The Klal Yisrael has already accepted it as an obligation to fast. What does that mean? So the Mechaber understands that the Shabbos before those Taneisim, the Tzibur is Mekabel Tainus, like the Shabbos before Bahab, so the same Mishaberach, for those who will fast on Bahab. And everybody says Amen. So most of the people, 99.99% of the people say Amen, a blessing on the head of those other people who are going to fast on Bahab. And 0.01% of the people say Amen, on Mekabel Tainus. Okay. So the Shabbos before Shabbos HaBetamuz and Asar HaBetavis and some Gedalia, so the Mechaber says, they say this Mishaberach and Shul, and everybody's supposed to say Amen, to mean the Kabbal Tainus. So it's a Neder Kabbalah Satainus. The Ramos says, no, you don't, the Ashkenazim don't have that Ninik. We're not Mekabbal Tainus before Kashuk. Kvashav Yu Alai Chayva means, Yom Chuyuf Tefes Mitam Ninik. Yom Kippur there's a Chuyuf Tefes Minatur, Tishabov there's a Chuyuf Tefes Minatur, and Shivasa Batamas and Ansar Batavis and Song Gedalia is a Mechiv to fast. There's a Chiv to fast. Mitam Minig. The Minig is Mechaivas to fast. If you have a Tainus Chaloim, so what's the Chiv to fast? So the Gemara says it's a Chiv. If the person laughs and wakes up in the morning and he laughs away all the dreams and he doesn't take it seriously, it's not Mechiv to fast. But if he's really nervous about the dream, he's concerned. He has a dream he's going to die, someone in his family close to him is going to die, and he's concerned about it. So then it's considered a suffix sakana. But the Gemara says, chalom shein bo b'dvar b'telem. Means that 59 units of the dream is dvar b'telem. Possibly one unit, or maybe a little less, is going to be significant. Echa mishishim achalom. Echa mishishim b'nevua. So he should, if he senses it, there's a suffix sakana, if he's nervous about the dream, then he's mechuyev to fast. That's what the din is, even fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you have a chaloim ra. But if the person doesn't take it to heart, then we say Divrei Chacham is lamala v'lamarid. Remember when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein got engaged, so they made a kiddush in the dormitory here. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was here for that Shabbos. He didn't live in the neighborhood, he stayed for that Shabbos. So he spoke about, I don't remember if it was Parshas Vayeshev, don't recall. He spoke about his brother, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So he said that people had complaints against his brother that he didn't carry on the tradition from his grandfather, Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim only had one dream about Torah. Rav Soloveitchik had two dreams. He had a dream about Torah and a dream about philosophy. So he said, this was the complaint that the brothers had about Yosef. The father only had one dream about the Malachim Olam V'Yodlimbo, Sulam Utzavarts of Rosh Magi HaShemayim, about angels. And then Yosef has two dreams. One dream about the celestial bodies and one dream about Malamim Alomim, a dream about Gashmias. So the answer was that it's not correct about Yosef. The brothers were wrong. The father's dream had two parts. It was a Sulam Utzavarts of Rosh Magi HaShemayim. So Yosef just broke down the father's dream into two parts, the part that's Mutzavarza and the other part is Magi HaShemayim. So the dream about the Tzva Shemayim was Rosh Magi HaShemayim. The dream about Mamim Alumim was the other half of the father's dream. So he said, my brother, Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, he just broke down his grandfather's dream into two parts. He said, my grandfather knew philosophy also. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered that on occasion Rav Chaim used to be studying Mor Nebuchim, and sometimes he would be frustrated and he would slam it closed. He would shut the sefer. He studied philosophy also. So he said, my brother just developed my grandfather's dream and he broke it down into its two component parts. But he didn't really have any new dreams. Just like Yosef didn't have new dreams. The Malbim interprets, and I think many Mefarshim said like that, the dream about Ma'almim Alumim was what led Yosef to interpret the dream of Paro later. That's the way they're going to save the whole Middle East. At that time, they're going to put away all of the grain. They had storage houses full of grain. And they saved the whole world from the 7 years of famine that were going to come. So this, how did he ever figure out how to interpret the dream of Paro? So somehow this was shown to him, Almim Alumim, they were making bundles of Tvue and storing them all away, and this is how he understood how to interpret Paro's dream and how to save the whole Middle East at that time. The quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon and others explain as well, when the brothers say to Yosef, HaMaloch Timloch Aloinei Mashol Tim Shalbanu, what is the Kefa Loshon? So they explain, a Melech and a Moshal are not exactly the same. A Moshal is one who balabatav is over the other person, even Shalom Ritzono. Someone comes with a, policeman comes with a nightstick, and he beats up a Ganef. See, he's a Moshal over the Ganef, let's say. Or the Ganef beats me up. So the Ganef is Moshal over me. But I didn't appoint him as a Melech. Melech is one who is accepted by the people. Last night I spoke in New Jersey, I gave a shir. So after I finished the shir, so Balabas comes over to me, he's bothered. In the davening we say, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vod. Or in the Kedusha we say, Yimloch Hashem Li'olam Alakach Tzion Adov Adar Holocaust. So he said, isn't that blasphemous? That you should say that God should rule forever. Of course God is going to rule forever. What do we have to pray to God? So I told him, I don't think that's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rule forever, he'll be Moshel forever. That's a fact. We don't have to pray that should happen. Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vod, Yimloch Hashem Li'olam Alakach Tzion means we hope the day will come that all of mankind will recognize God as the King. That's what the difference between Melucha and Memshal is. Melucha means if it's with the approval, with the consent of the nation. And Memshal means just to balabatav over them. So that's what the brothers said to Yosef. We neither accept you as our Melech, nor do we think the day will ever come that you will be the ruler over us without our accepting you as the Melech. They think that neither is going to happen. Sukkim gives such a harsh description the way the brothers hated Yosef and they wanted to kill him, they wanted to sell him. But according to the Midrashim, this is all an exaggeration. This is a b'china of HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek im tzadikav kuchut ha'sayra. The Sukkim say later in Shmos that the Kohen Gadol has to wear the choshen with the 12 avonim and the names of all of the Yud Beis Shvatim are carved out, and it should be the Zikaron L'Bnei Yisrael. It should be that the Rabbanu Shlomo should see the names of the Yud Beis Shvatim engraved on the Choshen, and it should be considered a schus for their descendants. All of the Bnei Yisrael are descendants. What kind of a schus for their descendants? Each one is a bigger gangster than the other one. A bunch of murderers and thieves. Terrible. All jealous of each other. The answer is that all of these psukim are understood as exaggerations. Tzadik Gemara says, Kol Ayim Adavit Chata Ein El Atoya. The psukim in Novi are taken as an exaggeration. The Medrash has an interesting kind. Vayishma Ruhin Vayatzi Lehu Miyodam. Vayom Alon Akenu Nofesh. Hashlichu Osa Ol Abor Azer Shabba. Mid Bel Yor Al Tishluch Bo, etc. So the Medrash has an interesting comment. If Reuven would have realized that his drasha is going to be recorded in the Tanakh, he would have done more to save his brother. What does it mean? It means that a lot of us don't realize what our potential is. A lot of us don't realize how important we are. The Pasuk says later about Yosef was in a the Mitzrim are considered Shtufei Zima. It's a very immoral society. And he was in the home of Potipharah. Aishas Potipharah was always driving him crazy every day. Shichu Imi. She was always giving him a hard time. She wanted to have an affair with Yosef HaTzadik. He was so good looking. So he was almost about to give in. And then the Gemara says, Gemara has tradition, Einish Miyancha Abai Sham Abayis. Nobody from the house was there, but there was someone not from the house that was there. Who is that? That was the Yukna Shayyankim Avinu. He imagined as if he saw his father watching over him. So we have in Tehillim, there's one parak in Tehillim where it describes the human situation in contradictory terms. The pasuk describes that man is mamish only next to God, higher than all of the angels. And then the same parsha in Tehillim, the same parak in Tehillim, describes man v'anosh kisizkiren averadam kisivkedeno. Man is worthless. They're both true. Man has different mussar schools. In Europe, some of them emphasize the godless Adam, some of them emphasize the shiftless Adam. And each one was an exaggeration until they finally developed the mussar that's common today. That's a mussar, a combination of both. They're both true. It has to be a balance. On the one hand, man can have tremendous potential, and on the other hand, man can be the lowest of the lowest. So to prevent the person from sinning in a society where there's so much pressure to sin, like Yosef over here, it's not going to help if he's going to remember that man is nothing. So whatever you do doesn't count. So I can sin all I want, and the world is not going to collapse. The world is going to go on without me, whether I sin or I don't sin. You have to emphasize the godless Adam, so he visualizes as if he sees his father in the Chaloyim. I'm a descendant from Avram Yitzchak and Yankiv. And then the Gemara says that he visualizes if the father was telling him, Yosef, you know the Kohen Gadol is going to have all the Yud Beis Shvatim, the names of the Yud Beis Shvatim engraved on the Avnei HaChoshen. Do you want your name to be missing from there? So he realized he has tremendous potential to become he is a great tzaddik, has tremendous potential to develop, to become even greater. So that's what saved him, that's what prevented him from sinning in this particular instance. So that's how the Medrash says, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileu Miyodam. Reuven said, Lo Nakana Nofesh, Hashlichu Osa Labor Hazeh. If he would have realized that all of this is, the Rabbanu Shlom is watching everything, the Rabbanu Shlom is recording everything in the Chumash, wow, he would have gone out of his way to do a much better hatzolah than that, just to say l'chuvin ashlichei walabor azeh, would have done more. So the Medrash continues to say that today the Tanakh is already sealed, so nothing that any must do has the potential of being incorporated into the Tanakh. Tanakh is concluded already, but it's still being recorded. The Rabbanu Shlom is watching everything that people do, and the Melech HaMashiach is recording, and whatever that means, it means that we all have tremendous potential. We shouldn't think that whatever we do is meaningless. What people do has a tremendous effect on the whole world. If they do l'tayva, you know, if they do a little thing l'tayva, they can tip the whole scale, tip the whole balance of the whole world. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, a person should always visualize as if the world is machza tzadikim and machza rishoyim, as if everything is shakul in the world. And if a person does one mitzvah, it can tip the scale to be matzel the whole world. The Gemara in the second parak in Shabbos has the whole sugya of Ner Chanukah. Because the Mishnahs talk about Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, so the Gemara talks about which one of those Psilus Hashmonim, which you may not use for Shabbos, which one of those may not be used for Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. It can use all of them, it can use some of them. So the Gemara there has two memories from the same Amara, one after the other. One memory is that you shouldn't light Ner Chanukah Lamayla Me'esrim Amah, because the whole purpose of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah is to accomplish Pirsumi Nisa. So Lamayla Me'esrim Amah, there's no Pirsumi Nisa. Then the Gemara quotes the same Amayra as another memory, and the simple pshat in the Gemara is that they quote the same Amayra, Ploni in the name of Ploni, so he has a few memories, one after the other, not necessarily connected with each other. That's the Pasha pshat. So there are other memories on this pasuk. Ba'borei kein bo mayim. So the Gemara has the comment: Mayim ein bo avol nechoshim akrabim v'yeshbo. So some of the mefarshim point out that they think that there's a connection between the two memories. It's not stam. It's the same mandom and ploni in the name of ploni. No, how can it be if the brothers didn't want to kill Yosef HaTzadik? Let him die a natural death. So they said, "Luchuvin ashlechehu ala bor azeh." So they throw him into a bor that has nechoshim akrabim. So that's killing him outright. That's mitzicha biyadayim. So the answer is no. The bor was 20 amas deep, and just like you can't see lemale meser mama, there's lo shalta be'ena. So if the bor is 20 amas deep, you probably can't see the nechoshim akrabim there either. So they didn't realize that that would be tantamount to that would be equivalent to killing Yosef biyadayim. That's the Pasha Pshat, that the brothers did not, according to that suggestion in the Gemara, that the bor was molly Nechosh Ma'akrabim, the brothers did not realize that it had Nechosh Ma'akrabim. They thought that it was a regular bor. They didn't see the Nechosh Ma'akrabim. The Rechaim HaKadosh on this pasuk has a whole fantastic interpretation. They knew that there were Nechosh Ma'akrabim there, but throwing a person into a pit where they are starving snakes is not considered killing him biyadai. And it gives a whole interpretation. The Pasha Pshat is not so. Pasha Pshat is if you have a starving snake and you put a person in front of him, that's Ritzicha biyadai. The Gemara has a whole discussion about that. Yishich Boaz HaNachash has a machlokes HaTanan, whether he chai misa or not, whether Eres Nachash ben Shinovoy made, or Eres Nachash miyatzmahu meki. Yehuda was the most respected of all the brothers. Whenever he spoke, so they all had their chats. He was recognized as the melech from all of the brothers. Even though Reuben was older, even though Reuben was the poor. So the Gemara comments on Yehuda. He says an expression, "Ma betza kinarik hasachinu v'chisinu es damo." What are we going to gain? Ma moment. That's how the Targum says. Ma moment misani lo. What monetary gain will we get if we kill a brother? It doesn't pay. So the Gemara comments, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Davov, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, if one praises the Botzeya, so that's Niyutz. So the Gemara has different interpretations. So one interpretation is what Tesis in the Rosh quoted, Botzeya Berech Niyutz Hashem. Botzeya means a ganef. When the ganef steals so shalchitim, tchona v'afor, and he grinds it and makes flour, and then he does lisha, and then he does afi, and he's marfish chala. He wants to recite the birchas hamitzvah. Ein zeh mevarach al ha'minayitz. That's called the mitzvah bo ba'aver. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin has like that. Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has like that. That's a mitzvah bo ba'aver. That's a simple pshat in Gemara that if ganef is reciting a birchas hamitzvah over the hafrashas chala. That's what Rabbi Kivega points out in the Gilyan Hashas on the side of the Tosfos on Mem Hayam and Aleph on the first Amud in Shlosh Shachman. Tosfos has a totally different gears than the Gemara. Tosfos has the gears Hareisha goes also Shalchitim Chana Vafo Vaachala. It goes and eats it. Not Behifish Mimelachala. It's not going on a Bichas HaMitzvah on the Hafrosh Hashchal. It goes on a Bichas HaNenin. So Tosfos has the gears in the Gemara. Tosfos obviously assumes like the Rambam that on non-kosher food you don't say a bracha, not before and not after. The Tosfos says, similar to our Mishnah, that no bracha is recited over non-kosher food, so you don't say a bracha, even if it's kosher food, but you stole it, and you have no right to eat it. Whenever you have no right to eat this food, so no bracha is recited. Yeah, according to the Ravid and the Ramach, the Mishnah just says there's no mezumen. It's kesher rishamenam and aminyan. There's no mezumen. You do say a bracha before, you do say a bracha after. So Tosfos had this girsa, that's what Rabbi Kevega said, he's not familiar with such a girsa in the Gemara Baba Kama. He goes and he eats it. Way we have the gears, it says tchana v'afor v'hifish mimeno chalo. Ketzad mevarcha goes on the bichas hamitzvah. So that's why Tosfos says in Sanhedrin, the ganav seems like he's mezalzel ha'minonim l'chaveiro. He steals money, but it sounds like he's orthodox, strictly orthodox. He's worried about hafroshes chalo. So why does he wait to do the hafroshes chalo till after he bakes it? The women always do hafroshes chalo when it's in a state of dough. That's the din l'chatchila. He's supposed to be mafresh chalo in the state of iso. So why does it say tchana v'afor v'hifish mimeno chalo? So that's what prompts that we learned. The other day we were learning Ketzim Avorchim. So that what prompted the Rabbi Natan on Daf Lamed Ches to say a fantastic Shtigl Torah, which we don't pass like. He took together a whole bunch of Mishnayis and Gemaras and Psochem and Brachas, everything, a whole concoction. He came up with a whole Shtigl Torah that sometimes if it would be a Blila Rako, then it doesn't become Chai V'chala until after you do the Afir. If it would have been a Blila Ova and has already a Shem Lechem, take it from the yard before you bake it, so then you can be mafresh challah right away. Because the chiyuv challah only sets in when you have a shem lechem. Oy ba'cholchem ilechem ha'aretz. If it would be a blila rako, then it's only chayv challah after you do afir. And that's what the ganav did. He stole sor shel chitim tchana. He ground it up. He made flour, and he made it into a blila rako. And then he baked it. And then it became chayv challah. So that's the whole fantastic pshat from the Rabbeinu Tam. According to this Tosfos Girsa, it's not hifish melechala. It's not going. It's not going on bichas hamitzvah. It goes on bichas hanenen. He says ba'achola. He's saying a bichas hanenen over eating it. The Tosfos holds like the Rambam. You don't say a bracha whenever you had no right to eat it. So the Gemara has different interpretations on the pasuk. Ubatzei berech niyat Hashem. So one interpretation the Gemara gives is ubatzei berech. If the ganav says a bracha, either he says hamoitzi when he eats the bread which is stolen. Or the ganav says the birchas hamitzvah and the hafroshes challah, and that's labeled as a mitzvah baba veira. So batzei berech, the ganav who recites a bracha, God does not accept his bracha as a bracha. The fellow is mezalzel ben adam lachaveiro, so his ben adam lamakim is also thrown away. The Rebbeinu Shlomo rejects all of his mitzvahs ben adam lamakim. And the Gemara has the other interpretation: who batzei berech, Yehuda made a compromise over here. Yehuda was in a position to save the brother. Whatever he would have said, they would have listened to him. He was considered the most respected of all the brothers. So because he only made a compromise, he said, let's not kill him. L'chuv v'nim kerenu la Yishmaelim. Let Yishmaelim take him away to Mitzrayim. So whoever praises him, but Seir Berach, whoever praises Yehuda because of saving Yosef, it's Niyatz Hashem. You're not supposed to praise Yehuda. You don't praise a person who had in his power, he had in his position to accomplish much more, and he only accomplished half of what he could have accomplished. He could have saved Yosef totally. Should have given a Musa Shmuz to the brothers, they should leave him alone. Don't touch Yosef. And he didn't give that Musa Shmuz. And they would have listened to him. So the Gemara says, whoever praises Yehuda is Niyatz Hashem. The Gemara has another level of interpretation. Bitsua is the expression that's used for making a pshara. When Reuben and Shimon have a dispute on an issue of Dinim Ominous, so they go to Bezdin for a din Torah. So the Bezdin can either paskin based on din, or they can paskin based on lifnim mishuras adin, pshara. Pshara doesn't mean that he's asking for $5 million. He wants to give zero, so he divides it in half and he gives $2.5 million. Sometimes the pshara is 100% in favor of this person. Sometimes the pshara is 100% in favor of this person. And sometimes it's going to be 30%, 30%, 30%, 70%. It's not always going to be 50-50. Pshar means whatever Yosha dictates. There's a psak of din, and there's a psak of lifnei mishur es din, a psak of Yosha. So some tanoim are of the opinion that you have no right to encourage the baladinim to make a pshar. If the baladinim come to the rabbanim, they want to have a din Torah. So you have to paskin according to the din. What do you mean? You're going to outsmart the Torah. You're going to say, Yosha, even though the Torah says like this, Yosha dictates you shouldn't follow the law of the Torah. It means that there's a Yosha that's a higher morality, a level of morality above the dinim and the Choshen Mishpat. So sometimes I'm told that there is no such thing. You're not allowed to paskin a pshara, But say a berach, whoever praises a rabbi who made a pshara, niyitz Hashem. That's chiruf egiduf, that the rabbis are supposed to paskin dinei Torah. That's not the accepted opinion. That's not the accepted opinion. We paskin, the second opinion of the Gemara is that it's mutter to suggest a pshara, and we paskin like the third opinion of the Gemara. Not only is it mutter, it's a mitzvah to recommend a pshara. You can't pressure the baladinim if they don't agree. You can't force them into a pshara. But we should always encourage the Baal HaDinim to go for a pshara, because there is such a concept as a psak din of yosher, which is a higher form of morality than the dinim and the choshim mishpat. Dinim and the choshim mishpat are the basic level of yashrus, but there is a yashrus that's above that. Anyway, the Gemara condemns Yehuda. He had in his power to save Yosef completely, and the Gemara comments on that pasuk in Mishlei, but say a berech. Niyat Hashem, the one who praises Yehuda for saying Ma Betza, for making a Hatzalah over here, is Niyat Hashem. He doesn't deserve to be praised. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Excuse me, I thought it was a Mishlei. Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Yud. Here the Torah Tmima quotes it. Says when a person loses a close relative, so he mourns for a while, and as time goes on, so he forgets about his loss. So we usually assume that this is a natural process. As time goes on, the person died, you forget about it. So Rashi on this pasuk quotes from the Gemara that it's a gzeir al hameishi ishtakech min alev lacha yud beis chodesh. It's a gzeir min hashamayim, it's not a natural thing. And the gzeir only applies if the person is really a mace. If the person is still alive, just that I mistakenly think that he's not alive, they bring the Xenus Pasim that's all bloody to Yankov Avinu, and he recognizes that this is the Xenus Pasim that belonged to Yosef, and he's all aggravated, and he rips Kriya, and Vayikra Yankov Simloisa, he rips Kriya over the death of the son, Vayisabol Beno Yamim Rabim, and says, Vayimoyl Hisnachim. He never accepts any Nechom. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that this Gzeira Alameish Ishtakech Ben Alev Lacha Yud Beis Chodesh only applies Alameis, not Alachai. It's not a natural thing because I thought that he's not alive, so the Mela I'm going to forget about him. He says, Ki Ered Al Bini Ovel Sholo. He says he's going to cry for the rest of his life till the day that he dies. He's never going to forget about his son who died. So the Medrash interprets that it's not because a father who loses his son cries forever. Even a father who loses a child also will get over it after a while. But over here, the Maisa, he was still alive, so this Gzeira didn't apply. It's an interesting comment. The Medrash comments, Vahibo Esahi Vayered Yehuda Me'esechov. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, when the brothers realized what they had just done, so they turned to Yehuda and they condemned him. He had a Yerida, the brothers lost their respect for Yehuda. He said, Ma beta ken argas achina luchuvenim kerena le Yishmaelim, and then they went along with him, and after they let the Medonim sell him to the Yishmaelim and so on, then they all had charata. So Yehuda had a Yerida in their eyes. They didn't respect him as much as before, rightfully so. He should have saved the brother completely. So they said to him, if you would have told us not to sell him at all, we would hayinu shamelucha. So he was a little bit isolated from the brothers. So he married this non-Jewish woman. The whole story is strange. 99% of all the stories is missing. We don't understand. So he married a non-Jewish woman. So the pasuk says she had one baby, Vayikra Shmo Er. Yehuda gave the baby name Er. She has baby number two, Vatikra Shmo Onan. She gave the name to the baby Onan. Then she has baby number three. So it says Vatikra Shmo Shelo. She gave the name to the baby. What is this all about? So the Daz, the Kenim of Bali Atesis, has an interpretation that many quote, that the psukim are teaching us who has the right to give the name to the baby. Sometimes parents have a dispute that the mother wants to name the baby after her father, the father wants to name the baby after his father, whatever. things to fight about. My wife had all the babies. I gave her the right to pick all the names. She had 9 babies, and each baby she gave 2 names. So all the 18 names she picked. She carried the babies. I gave her the right to pick all the names. So the Dazikanim says over here that the first baby that's born, the husband has the right to give a name. The second baby, the wife has the right to give the name, and they alternate. So that's why it says, by the first baby, Vayikra Shmoer. Second baby, Vatikra Shmoonon. The third baby really was the father's right to name the baby, but it was out of town. Vahoyabichzi, believe it also. The father was out of town, so they had to give the baby a name. So the mother gave the baby a name. That's how the Dazikanim and Balei HaTosfos comments on this post. They have a collection of letters from the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, sort of like Shavuos HaTshuvos, in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So someone asked him about who has the right to give the names to the babies. He refers you to this Dazikanim Balei HaTosfos. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, I don't know what this means at all. I don't know, at least this has a mocker. He's a Dazikanim on Chumash. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that when he was born, so Rav Chaim came to visit his mother in the hospital, and wherever at home, wherever she delivered the baby, and he said that his father, the Beis HaLevi, had passed away already over 10 years, and no one in the family was named after him. So he told his mother, Rav Chaim told the Rav Soloveitchik's mother, that according to the halacha and according to the minig, the wife has the right to name the first baby. I don't know what that means, but he's asking her as a taiva that she should name the baby after his father. And if she does, he'll agree to serve as the sandik on the baby by the bris. So she wasn't going to argue with him, but Rav Chaim was afraid Rav Chaim would faint if he would see blood. So he eased his way out of being the sandik at the bris. So the maisa, he did not deliver. He was not the sandik. I don't know what that means. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, my name is, I'm the oldest of all the children of my family. My name is Yosher Ber, and I was named after my father's grandfather. What's the kasha? So no one knew what the kasha was based on that information. They say, that's the kasha. How come my father picked the name? My mother should have picked the name. Because he said, I'll be Dinan, I'll be Minig. The mother has a right to pick the name for the first baby. So he said, the terrors to the kasha is, Rav Chaim made a deal with his mother, and he didn't live up to his half of the deal. If she'll agree to name the baby after his father, who had no one other named after him, so he'll serve as the son. I don't know. Mistama, all the minhagim are acceptable, as long as it's peaceful. The Yiddish folklore, they tell the story about the husband and the wife who came to the rabbi. They were fighting what to name the baby, so she wanted to name the baby after her father, he wanted to name the baby after his father. So the rabbi asked, what was your father's name? Yosef. What was your father's name? Yosef. So the same name is not good? No. She wants to be named after his father, he wants to be named after her father. So the rabbi asked, what did your father do for a living? So he said, her father was a horse thief. And what did your father do for a living? He used to forge checks. So he said, okay, the psak is like this. We'll name the baby Yosef, and we'll see when he grows up. If he turns out to be a horse thief, he'll be named after your father. Turns out to be a forger, he'll be named after your father. Yiddish folklore, they have a lot of stories about naming babies. They say that the name Schneer was a compromise. Schneer means that the father and the mother had a fight what to name the baby. Each one wanted to name after his father, whatever. So one was named Meir and one of them was named Uri. So it's the same name, Meir Uri, the same thing. So they decided to name the baby Schneur, two like, after Uri and after Meir. So that's a compromise. Schneer is a compromise. The Parsha talks about Yibum. This is Koyde Matan Tor. The Parsha talks about Yibum. Apparently it was such a practice. The simple pshat and psukim that these people were not Jewish at all. He married a girl, Basish Knani. The Rashi says Knani means Tagor. He was a merchant. Rashi doesn't want to learn. Rashi's quoting the Targum Unkelus. He doesn't want to learn. It was a Knani, a Nochri. Question, was she Jewish Bechla? Was Yibum a practice that was prevalent by the Nochrim as well? Maybe. That's the Shiloh over here. So it says that the first son, Er, got married to Tamar, and then he died. He did some kind of a sin and he died. Doesn't say what sin he did. Then they told Oinon, Yehuda tells Oinon, he should fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam. And then it says v'shichas arza. He didn't want to fulfill a mitzvah, so he was punished. He died. What is v'shichas arza? So the Gemara says in Yevamos that he did hoitzah zera levatola. He violated the isa hoitzah zera levatola. There's a big dispute in Shulchan Aruch whether this is an isa deraisa or an isa derabbanan. So some achrayim say the rov ha'pasuk hold it's only the rabbanan. Others say rov ha'pasuk hold it's an isa deraisa. The Pashup Pshat in the Gemara is that it is an Issa Deraisa. Tosis in Sanhedrin even discusses whether it's prohibited for Bnei Noach to do Hashchos HaZera, Hatzor HaZera Levatol. The Tosis says a possibility that maybe it's even also for Bnei Noach. So the Pashup Pshat is that in the Gemara that it's Deraisa, but some Achranim claim they insist that it's only Rabban. It's a question. If you don't interpret V'shich HaSartza as referring to Hatzor HaZera Levatol, so what does it mean? The Gemara interprets that the punishment, the sin that Oinon violated was Hatzor HaZera Levatola, and even though it doesn't say what Er did, we assume that Er did the same sin as Oinon. Er V'Yonah did the same Aveir. Stoma. Others interpret, no, Hatzor HaZera Levatola is only Midirabon, and V'Shich HaSartza means a different thing. L'diltin is Sanzera Le'ochiv, he didn't want to plant the field. Whoever does Yibum, Yarshin, the whole Yerusha from the brother, the Gemara says, Yisrael. So the Gemara says, in Kol HaTorah Kula Enemik Yetzim Dei Pshutoi, with the exception of that Pasuk. That Pasuk is not to be understood literally. That the first baby that's born is named after the one who died, that's not what it means at all. It means, V'hoyabchor Mitzvah B'kod Liyabim, HaShetele Prat La'inus. Yokan Mashimach of Ameis means that whoever does the Yibum gets the whole Yerusha. Let's say the brother who died has 10 brothers and only one of the surviving has 10 surviving brothers. And the one, so they should really divide the Yerusha in 10 parts. So each brother should get 1/10. But the din is, if one of them, if they do Chalitza, so they divide the Yerusha in 10 parts, each one gets 1/10. But if one of them does Yibum, so whoever does Yibum is Yokan Mashimach of Ameis, he gets the Yerusha. So that's what the Cheskuni interprets over here. V'shicha tzartzel viltina sanzera l'achiv. He didn't get along with his brother. Eviyana didn't get along with each other. So after he performed Yibum, and then he got the whole Yerusha. So he didn't want that his field should look pretty. That the field that he got the Yerusha from the brother should look nice, because he never got along with his brother. So v'shicha sartza, he destroyed the land. The viltin his son Zerli Achiv, he didn't want to plant in his brother's field. That's an alternate interpretation. That's what the Cheskuni considers the pshuta shel mikra. So for that he was punished. And Zvayom is gam also. Very strange, because he disliked his brother so much. That's why he deserved to die. Here there's a famous discussion in Poskim. Gemara has a din. If a woman lost two husbands, she has the status of a katlanis, and you're not supposed to marry her. What exactly does that mean? So the Rambam never quotes the din. Rambam holds katlanis means that was a superstition that the Hamoinam had in the days of the Gemara, that people were nervous. So the Amoraim let them follow their tendencies. But the Rambam holds that it's not for real, it's not a real chashash, nothing scientific to it, and he never quotes the whole din of katlanis. Others do quote, in Shulchan Aruch they did quote the din, that if the two husbands died, so we say it's a suffix zakana for the third husband to marry the woman. And the Gemara has two versions, why, what could possibly be the suffix zakana? So one version the Gemara says is that maybe mazal goram, maybe min hashamayim, the guy said that this woman should always suffer to be an almana. She should never have any happy marriages. So if I marry the woman, I may die in order that she should suffer to remain an almana a third time as well. The other version of the Gemara is no, that it's maka goyre, that it's a medical concern. That maybe by living with the woman, maybe there's some kind of disease that's communicated to the husband. The difference will be, it says in the Pasuk Meshulchan, the difference will be, what if we know what to attribute the death of the husband to? He was shot by a Nazi or something, so we know what it was. You know, the husband was 40 years older than his wife, and he died from old age, and the wife is much younger. So you can't say that it's because, how long do you want him to live? He died at the age of 90. How long do you want him to live? Of course he's going to die. or he was in an accident. He worked in a lumber yard, then he got killed for something. It was an accident. It's not that it's an unknown cause of death, but you may possibly attribute it to the fact that he was living with the woman. So if you're concerned because of mazel gerim, maybe Menashemayim, there were guys that this woman should be always an almana, so maybe her mazel is gerim. So it's a suffix sakana for me. But if you say moka gerim, maybe there's something physical, maybe there's something medical problematic with living with this woman. So we know what to attribute the death to, so then there wouldn't be any concern. So there's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. I have a cousin who lost two husbands, and she now happily married to the third husband. And the first husband was sick when she married him. We knew that he was a sick person. He was a young guy. He was learning in the Kol, but he had it was a heart condition before they got married. Then he died from the heart condition. Then the second husband, after the first husband died, she married her teacher in Maimonides, who had never been married. The teacher was 40 years older than her. So he died at a ripe old age of whatever. My cousin was a young girl. So she married her third husband, normal guy, regular healthy guy. So she had children from all of the three husbands. So that's what the Pesukim say. In certain cases, for sure there's no issue of Katlan. The Rambam never quotes the din of Katlan. He holds Bechlal, there's no problem. Even in Shulchan Aruch, that they do talk about Katlanis, there's a discussion whether Katlanis applies B'moka Mitzvah's Yibum or not. We don't, the Ashkenazim don't practice Yibum. The Svardim for many generations did practice Yibum until Hakamas HaMedina. After the Medina was established, then they said you have to have a Rabbanut that's going to have a unified Psak. So you can't have Ashkenazim are going to insist on Chalitz and the Svardim are going to practice Yibum. It's going to be a Balagan. So they got all of the Svardish Rabbanim to sign a Haskem that they won't allow Yibum either. So many years later, Chacham Abad Yosei, before he became chief rabbi, wrote a tshuva that the Ein Tokev B'Haskem Zeh. What right did they have to go against the Din HaTorah? The Torah says you have to perform Yibum. Mitzvah Yibum Kademus and Mitzvah Chalitz. So who gave the Rabbanim of the Medina the right to violate a Din? So so in the Sfadish Achranim, you have discussions about Yibum. So they quote this Machlekes Achranim. Would you permit them, would you encourage the couple to go for Yibum if the woman is a Katlanis? The reason why the whole issue of Katlanis is a Suffix Akana, maybe it's a Suffix Akana. Those who are concerned about Katlanis. So maybe Suffix Akana, but it's a far-fetched Suffix Akana. It's not a 50-50, nowhere near a 50-50 Suffix Akana. Far-fetched Suffix Akana. So maybe we should say that Shluchim Mitzvah Einen Nizokim. That B'moka Mitzvah, you're not supposed to be concerned about far-fetched Suffix Akana. The Gemara says, Hecha D'Shchiyach HaZeke. The Gemara says in Psochim, Andav Ches. If it's a real miyotam matzui, so then even by makam mitzvah you have to be concerned, so you should not do the mitzvah. But if it's lo shchiyach hazeke, it's not a miyotam matzui, but still people are nervous about it, so then by makam mitzvah you should ignore the suffix akan. So that's a big discussion over here. Mitzvah sibum kodemus le mitzvah chalitza. Even if you don't do yibum, he's still going to do the mitzvah of chalitza, so he's not going to be left without a mitzvah at all. It's preferable to do yibum as opposed to chalitza. So that's a shaila. Is that also considered shluchim mitzvah and nizokim to do the preferred form of yibum over chalitza? Would you say even in such a case shluchim mitzvah and nizokim? So they're about to bring the raya over here from the pasuk that Yehuda didn't want to let Tamar marry his third son Shelah. So he said, wait till Shelah grows up. But the truth of the matter was that's not what he was concerned about. Ki amar penyam bos gam hu kiachov. He was afraid because of Katlanis. So that's how some interpret. Yehuda was afraid of Katlanis because he didn't know the whole background, that the first two were punished because of their Avera, because of Shichas Arzo. Yehuda didn't know what was going on. So he thought that maybe Tomer has the status of a Katlanis. He didn't want to let his son do Yibum because of the issue of Katlanis. That's how some interpret the pasuk. And others say no, that the third son was a katan, a yigdal shela b'nei. He wasn't yet a gadol. So the mitzvah of yibum is only when he's already a gadol. A katan shabal yivinto is only kainim in the rabban, is not kainim in the Torah. So you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So on a katan you can't say, that's how some achrayim say. On a katan you can't say, shluchim mitzvah enin nizok. If shela would have grown up, he would have been a gadol, then it would have been a mitzvah, then you would have said shluchim mitzvah enin nizok. No. Question: how serious an interpretation is this? We're not talking about the real din of Yibum. We're talking Kodim Matan Torah. Could even be that these people are not Jewish. Every Yainam. The Pashtus was that the first two children were not Jewish. Shaila whether Shayla was Jewish. There is a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, the last Tosfos in the second Perek in Yevamos. Rashi interprets the Gemara, Daf Chaf Hei, I think, the very end of the second Perek in Yevamos. Rashi interprets the Gemara that just like there's a din of Katlanis, you shouldn't marry Rashi, not like the Rambam, the whole thing is not like the Rambam. Just like we would not, we would discourage a person from marrying a girl who's lost two husbands, because of Katlanis, so too we would discourage a girl, we would discourage a man from marrying a woman who was divorced twice. Why? There's no suffix satana. That means, obviously, she's difficult to live with. Not obviously, maybe her first two husbands were difficult to live with. But suffix, why should you marry this woman who is already divorced twice before? Maybe you'll have agmas nefesh in marriage. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara that just like there's an issue of katlanis, that a woman who lost two husbands, you shouldn't marry a woman who lost two husbands, so too you shouldn't marry a woman who was divorced twice. And they said they never heard of such a ridiculous thing. There is no such concept. Ava katlanas amishin is garsha pamay. So on Shulchan Aruch, they do quote the Rashi. The Rama does quote the Rashi. One shouldn't look for trouble. And the Torah tells a story about Yehuda Betomer. Also, startling story. I think all the stories in Tanakh, I'm missing more than 99% of the story. Yehuda's name appears on the Choshen also. We assume these are big tzaddikim. This is an exaggeration of something that he did that was highly improper. But it's not to be taken as Maisi Yehuda Batomah, the Mishnah says in Megillah, that you're not supposed to, the Meturgman is not supposed to translate this. Because if he'll just translate Kipshuto, the Hamoinam will think that this Yehuda was some Noef. So it's Nikro Velemi Targum. We lay in it, but we don't say the Targum Unkelis on it. We don't. No mitzvah to be mefarsim what happened, because this is probably an exaggeration. The Bnei Yisoscha was a Chassidish Rebbe. So he wrote, in addition to this Chassidish Sefer, Bnei Yisoscha wrote another Sefer, wrote a few Svarim. We want another Sefer Derech Pikudecha that the Mishnah Brura quotes in one place. So Derech Pikudecha is a little bit like a Sefer HaMitzvahs. It only goes to Mitzvah Nun Beis or something, the middle of Mishpatim, and then it conks out. They're not sure exactly whether he never wrote the rest or the rest was lost, but that's all we have. The Derech Pikudecha, he lists off all of the mitzvahs, so the first 50 some odd mitzvahs, Nun Ches or something, Nun Beis, Nun Ches. And then he gives, and every mitzvah he gives machshava dibur maisa. He gives a brief, sketchy description of what the details of the mitzvah are. Then he gives some chidushi Torah, some chidushi halacha. Not at all as strong as the Minchas Chinuch. Nothing like the Minchas Chinuch is unbelievable. He's a little bit chidushi Torah on each mitzvah. And then he has machshava dibur maisa. Then he gives tameh mitzvah chasidus, kabbalah, nista, whatever. So on one of the mitzvahs, I remember he has he tells a story on this in connection with this pasuk that when Yehuda sent Vayishlach Yehuda es gidi huizim biyad reyehu hadulami lakachas esoyeravom biyad huisha v'loy mitzvah. So the shaliach asks around, ayei hakdosha hi beinayim al adar, where's the prostitute who used to be here yesterday? They said they don't know what he's talking about. So in the Derech Pikudecha, he quotes a story from one chassid, from some chassidish rebbe, I forgot which one, that there was a rebbe visiting town and he was going to say Shal Shudas Torah. So some misnagid walked from one side of the town to the other in order to heckle the rebbe in his Shal Shudas Torah. So he walked to the other side of town and he's preparing himself to listen to the drasha. So the Rebbe says before he starts the drasha, he wants that the Noiv should please leave the room. So nobody left? Obviously, nobody left the room. So he kept on insisting, Noiv should please leave the room before he says the Torah. So then no one left. So he says, and if you'll ask me, who's the Noiv? Aye, Hakadei Shah. Where is the Zayna? He by Naim Aladar. There's somebody who walked from one side of the city to the other in order to hear the drasha. And as he was walking, he passed through the non-Jewish sections, and the non-Jewish women were dressed improperly. So that Noiv should please leave the room before he says that. So the Misnagid saw that the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew that he had walked through the non-Jewish section and he had seen the non-Jewish women who were dressed improperly. So he said that this is a story he has on this pasuk. Ayei HaKodeshah, where is the Noiv? He by Naim Aladar. His eyes. He saw the improperly dressed women while he was walking on the road. So that was the znus that he did. We learned the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara comments on this pasuk that Noach Lavon Shiapla Satzman the Kipshenesh Vayavim Penechaver by Rabbim. We discussed the other day that some Achlokes. The Rambam doesn't quote it. The Rambam assumes that it's just an agadah. It's an exaggeration. And Tosis and Rabbeinu Yonah take it literally. Tosis holds that this doesn't have to fall. Tosis and Sait holds this doesn't have to fall into one of the categories of Avodah Zarah, Gila Rashi, Chazdamim, Shas Hashmad, or Fahesia. This is a pasuk and Chumash, a separate din. We don't need the whole pilpul in Sanhedrin. That's cases other than Malum Pnei Chaver Baran. But this is a separate din b'fnei atzma. The Rabbeinu Yonah says no. This is part of that. It's part of that misgeret of dinim. That Malum Pnei Chaver Baran is an abizrayo of Shvichas Damim. So that's why we would apply the principle of Yehoreg Val Yachdo. What were they going to do? The Gemara is assuming that they're going to burn her alive. They're going to burn her alive. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. The tour has a famous interpretation, like the scarlet letter. Some of you may have read the scarlet letter, that the woman was an adulteress, that they were going to burn an A in a forehead. Rashi Tevis adulteress, I guess. So he says over here, Hotziu of the Sisaref, the minig was that he would burn a Zaino, whatever, Kadesha, Kuf, on a forehead. He must have read the scarlet letter also. So the Torah says that the minig was that he would burn something on a forehead, so no one would ever, she would not be appealing anymore. So no one would want to be Mizana with her again. It wasn't that we're going to kill her. What right do you have to kill a person for being a Zaino? Rashi quotes the famous Medrash, very difficult Medrash, that Tamar was Bitel Shel Shem. She was a daughter of Shem, or she was a descendant of Shem. And Shem, who Kohen Lekel Oyon, he was a Kohen, so she was Baskoin Shezinsa. Baskoin Shezinsa is Bisreifel. Baskoin Shezinsa is if she's married, not if she's single. The whole thing is a Pele. Then the Pasuk says, who Kohen Lekel Oyon, it says over there, so the Gemara says in the Dharma, who Kohen Vein Zara Kohen. That he lost the kohanim. He would have been zeicher lo elizar achrav. They should all be kohanim, but because he acted improperly, Shem said baruch Avraham lekel olyon. Then he said baruch lekel Avraham. First he was hikdim birchas zeved lebirchas kono. First he blessed Avraham Avinu. Then he gave a bracha to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Shem ben Noach lost the schus of kuna. So if he lost the schus of kuna, so she wasn't even a bas kohen. So what's the whole discussion over here? Anyway, Baskoin is Zinsa B'Sreifa, Zinsa is an Eishas Ish. He wasn't an Eishas Ish. Ramban has a pshat in the Pasuk. Very difficult pshat. Bosh pshat is probably like the Tur said. Otziyob Sisareif, make a mark on her face. The Ramban has a whole famous interpretation here. He says that Yehuda was like a melech. He was respected by all the people like a melech. And there's a din of Mar B'Malchus is Chayv Nisim. Mar B'Malchus Chayv Nisim means if you ignore the Melech gives you instructions. Here, Melech didn't give instructions, but she was formerly a daughter-in-law of Yehuda. She was married to Yehuda's two sons, Eri Yonah. So it was a violation of Derech Eretz. It was a violation of Znus anyway. But it's a violation of Derech Eretz to the Melech to go have an affair with someone else. So that's why they had a right to kill her. Mori b'malchus chai misim. So it's a little bit of an exaggeration. All right, there is a din Marv Malchus Chayv Nisim, but this is called, he was called the Melech, and that's Marv Malchus. Very difficult. Very difficult parasha. The easiest way to learn is like the Tur said. The Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos a machlokes hatanoim. How do you know that there were 39 Ovis Melochas? So one Tana says it's based on the gematria. Eila hadvarim. Aleph Lamed Hey. Lamed is 30 and Hey is 5 and Aleph is 1 is 36 and Dvarim is 2 is 37, 38 and Hey Hayidia makes 39. Dvarim, hadvarim, Eila hadvarim. But Yeshua says that gematria is just parparos lachachma. That's not from the Midrash Atar and the Rosh Hashem. But that's not a bona fide Rosh. So what is a bona fide Rosh? So one Tana says, if you take a chumash and you look from the beginning of Bereishis till the end of Yisrael, the word malocha, malachto, maleches will appear 39 times. That's a bona fide Rosh. That's a bona fide Rosh. Because the Gemara has a lot of times karnas, karnas, karnos, toitofis, toitofis, toitefis. You add together how many times the word appears in the Chumash. It says, Anaf, Eitz, Obis. One Tana is of the opinion you have to have three Hadassim, based on the fact that it says three words. Anaf, Eitz, Obis. That's a real Drosha Gemurah. If you hold like that Tana, that's a real Drosha Gemurah. So one Tana says, you add up all the times that it says in Chumash, Malocha, Malachta, Maleches, and it adds up to 39. Problem is, it adds up to much more than 39. So the different opinions in the Achronim has that kasha, adds up to much more than 39. So the different suggestions are which you're counting, which you're not including. So the Gemara raises the question regarding the pasuk over here, whether this word malachta is one of the 39 that count or that don't count. The Gemara left out so many others that are questionable whether they count or don't count. What are they only mistaken about this one? That's what the Achronim has. There's way more than 39. So they have different mahalchim. How, which malachis is the Gemara counting, and which are they not counting? No two people are on the same level of bitochen. Whoever has more bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do less ishtadlus. Whoever has less bitochen has an obligation. We all have an obligation to do ishtadlus. So one has a lot of bitochen. His ishtadlus is, let him say tilim. Yeah, but most people are not just on such a madrega. I mean, there are armies surrounding Eretz Yisrael. There are terrorist suicide bombers. And you're just going to say tilim. You're not going to prepare an army to protect you. So all the people who lived in Eretz would be on such a high madrega that would have taken care of the problem. But we're not on such a high madrega. So depending on what level of bitochen you're on, you have to do more hishtadlos. So that's what the Bali HaMedrash understood over here. On the level of Yosef HaTzadik, on his level of bitochen, he should not have requested of the Sar Mashkim to help him get out of prison. He should have just said tilim, should have just davened. And this was a novel on his part for which he was punished. If we would have done it, it would have been a mitzvah. We would have been mechuyev to do such a shtadlus. But for Yosef, that was considered a novel. That's how the Beis HaLevi interprets. The Chazon Ish has an essay also about Emunah Bitochen where he talks about this. So he explains that Emunah, let's say a person is dying from cancer. So we have Emunah. What do you mean Emunah? That he's going to survive. Who says? Most of the people die from the cancer. Hardly anybody survives. Emunah does mean that everything is going to turn out well in the end. Emunah means that we trust that God is in full control of the world and whatever his wish is will take place. If the Rabbanu Shlomo wants me to die, I'm going to die. If he wants me to live, I will not die because of this sickness. If the Rabbanu Shlomo wants me to live, I will not die. And that's Emunah. Emunah means an abstract. And Bitochen means, do you lead your life in accordance with that principle of Hashkofa, that God is in full control of everything in the world. So, there is a Chovas Hishtadlus. We have an obligation to do things that are reasonable. So to say Tilim is reasonable, to give a Doron, what do I should say, Doron, Mochama, Tfilon, all those are reasonable. But there are some things that are just grasping at a straw that are just absolutely unreasonable. So a person will only do that if he's totally depressed and he'll do something that's foolish, something that's that's not counterproductive, but it's absolutely useless and meaningless. So that's how the Chazon Ish interprets over here. The pasuk says, "Ashri hagever shesom Hashem eftachoi ulafana el rahavim misate chazov." That refers to the Mitzrayim, akruim rahav. The Mitzrayim was so were such people who were such mushchasim. Even if they had owed a debt of gratitude to Yosef, they would not repay by helping him out, by getting him out of the prison. So the fact that Yosef requested of, the fact that anyone would request of the Sar Mashkin, Kim Zachartani, Votesani Min Abayis Hazeh, you should get me out of prison, that was an act of desperation. That was clearly out of desperation. So that would have been considered improper for anyone to do. That's how the Chazon Ish interprets the Medrash. Beis HaLevi says it depends who. For me, it would be a mitzvah of ishtadlus. For Yosef, it was too much ishtadlus. He shouldn't have done it. And the Chazon Ish thinks that for anyone, it's not considered in the mitzvah of ishtadlus, because it's grasping at a straw that was absolutely meaningless. Even the ishtadlus that you have to do has to have a certain percentage of possible success. But if you can predict in advance, 99.99999% that it's not going to work, so it's utterly utter futility. But otherwise, it's a famous difficult medrash. What did he do that was wrong? It's to be expected of anyone. You have to try to improve your situation. There's a big discussion in Poskim whether celebrating birthdays is a non-Jewish practice, because the only place in the Tanakh that is described is over here by Paro. Was celebrating his birthday. And then the Mishnais and Avodah Zarah, in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, say whenever they had the Goyish kings, they would celebrate their birthday because they would act as a deity. So their birthday was the birth of the god. That's why. And so some claim that it's a Goyish practice, it's not proper. But it's usually assumed that it's not considered a Chukah Satan. I think when Rav Shimon Shkop reached his 70th birthday, the students made him a big birthday party. And they printed the Sefer HaYoivel. He started giving shir, I think, at a very young age. So they printed Lekavod his 70th birthday. They printed Sefer HaYoivel, and all the students, he was still alive. Rav Shimon himself participated. He wrote a whole long kuntris on Dovish Labal Yoilam and all kinds of fancy Chidushi Torah. And all of the students wrote essays about Rav Shimon. They didn't write the Reiter. They all wrote about the style of the shir. He had Talmidim for almost 50 years at that time. So he wrote the different Talmidim from the different Kufas, the earlier Talmidim, they all wrote about what type of a shir it was and how excited they were to attend the shir and what the Balabatim's reaction in the community was to the shir. They got, just a few years ago, someone in Eretz Yisrael took all of the harachot, all of the essays that the students wrote, they just reprinted again, the Sefer HaYoivel. So they took all the essays and they took out all the historical value from all the essays to draw up the history of all of the 50 years of Rav Shimon's giving shir, based on the descriptions of the students. Anyway, it's generally assumed that birthday parties are not a violation of Kukasa.